Quite often on a feast day of an apostle, we have this passage from the letter to the Ephesians. The gospel today, of course, from John, would be custom for Thomas. But let's reflect a few minutes on this first reading. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. Now, those are technical terms. These are the Gerim. These are the ones who dwell in Israel, but they're not Israelites. They're strangers and sojourners. But you are no longer, yes, we're in one church, and that church is fundamentally Jewish up to this point. But now you're not strangers in this church. You are fellow citizens with the holy ones, with those chosen by God. You too are now chosen by God. And members of the household of God. The Lord once said to St. Catherine of Siena, if you saw somebody in the state of grace as they really are, you would fall down and worship them because you'd think it was me. So what this text is telling, as Paul is telling them here, you see, is you are glorious. You are radiant with divine life because of the work of God in you, faith, to which you have yielded. And now your fellow citizens, with the holy ones and members of God's household, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. When Jesus chose 12, he was consciously starting a fulfillment of Israel. These are the 12 new patriarchs. They are the foundation of the new Israel, which is built and derives from the old Israel and includes it. We somehow have lost a sense of the immense grace that the apostles hold. We're going to say in the preface of the Mass that to this day the apostles guide us. And from their place in heaven, they guide us still. So now, you see, he's describing the church, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles are clear. It's interesting to note how many times the prophets are considered part of the structure of the church, though it's a charism. These are not the prophets of old. These are the prophets of the new covenant. They are the prophets. If you have it in the generic sense, that's Moses, as well as Jeremiah and Isaiah. But these are the prophets. Later in the letter, he's going to say, and God has put in the church first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, prophets. The church lives by prophecy. If the word of God were not kept alive by the gift of prophecy, it would die. The church would die. Now, it's a great benefit to the church when those who are apostles are also prophets. And we've had good examples of that with John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and so forth. But prophets are those who keep the church going. They are enlightened by God. They are in every age. Some are more prophetic by embodying the word of God in their action, like Mother Teresa. But that whole movement toward the poor and the destitute, and particularly for those in India, remember the Lord told her to take care of his Hindu and Muslim brothers and sisters, to prepare them to come into the kingdom. That's prophetic. The church lives by prophecy, but it's founded on the apostles. Their faith, in witness to which most of them died. And they are still the foundation of the church. In the book of Revelation, there are the 12 foundation levels, right? The whole heavenly city is founded on them. With Jesus himself as the capstone, probably. That is the place that all the stones hold together because they are leaning on this capstone. Through him now, through Jesus, this whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, therefore, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is a mystical understanding of the church. This is the edifice built by the Holy Spirit, hated by Satan, protected by angels and saints and the blood of Christ, animated by the very third person of the Trinity. And it is the presence of Christ, the physical presence of Christ on earth. And we need a prophetic understanding of church. It's not just this or that. It is the body of Christ, animated by the Holy Spirit. Getting ready now to face yet another trial, another time of persecution, for the sake of the world and for the sake of itself. Obviously, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that coming. But you do have to have faith to understand what the church is and who it is. And this passage, you see, is meant to help us understand that. Are there sinners in the church? Thank God. Or we'd all be out. But the holiness of the church is in its root, its foundation, its soul, the spirit. And we should pray to God on a feast of an apostle for a faith, I would say mystical, understanding of the church. And get God's vision of the need for purification, for holiness, for unity in the one sadly divided church of God. Everybody baptized belongs one way or another to the church. And look at us. 5,000 sects in this country alone. If I don't like an idea, I quit and start my own. And yet the great ones have always, take Henri de Lubac, who was publicly censured unjustly, never said a word. And the next article that he wrote, he began, "If we wish to be adults in Christ, we must begin by being children of the church." He took it. And he's now one of those prophetic figures. So, we should pray today for the church. My intention, of course, is for the people on the plaque back there, because this is First Friday. But pray for the church. That means praying for ourselves.